The Learn Me Something Podcast with your hosts, Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum.
Hey there, all of our good friends in podcast land. My name is Rich Plum. I'm here with my good friend, as always, Aaron Stewart.
Hey, everybody.
Alex Knight sitting right over there. He's by the controls. So that means this is Learn Me Something, another edition. And I, for this episode, Aaron, I'm going to take in a relaxing pose back here because, one, my back is a bit sore, and two, this one is on you, buddy.
Well, this is your off episode, you know, as we alternate back and forth on our, learned task, I guess, mm-hmm. our betterment of ourselves. I don't know. Somehow, I don't know how you do it, but, you know, somehow this episode is about you.
I thought all the episodes were about me.
Well, of course, in one way.
You know, I thought so, yes.
Yeah, well, one way or another.
I joke around a little bit and kind of pose myself as a bit of a narcissistic type of person, but honestly, I'm not. It's all in jest. It's all in jokes. I call myself a 10, and I always tell everyone, all my friends, that I'm so much prettier than they are. And it's all in good fun. It's my shtick.
Ah, well, there you go. I'm glad you clarified, because I mean, oh geez, well now I got to throw away this whole episode.
Well,
I
am a little.
It was all on how Rich is, you know, narcissistic.
I do make everything about me though. Somehow.
Well,
there's a bunch of different.
So we'll get to the episode. Actually, is on narcissism. In case you hadn't.
I'm very pretty though.
I've got an alternate title for it of who the fuck do I think I am? On to the actual episode itself, I suppose.
Yes, the one about me. Sure, go ahead.
Well, see, I suppose, yeah, so we haven't really deviated from the topic anyway. We were talking about Rich the whole time, so I suppose that's all.
Bit right in line with everything.
So there is actually the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, mm-hmm. the DSM, which we've kind of talked about. I don't believe we actually had the actual name of the thing, which is why I felt it necessary to actually
is that right?
on this time. Yes, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, yep. the DSM, I believe 5. Or yep. 6 is what they're up to right now.
We will be speaking of that in the next episode.
There is going to be lots and lots of episodes where, you know, because again, it's kind of the general classification that we use now, right? Mm-hmm. Before this whole manual thing came about, it was just kind of like, you have problems peeing standing up, do you? Well, that must mean you are, right?
Is that a mental disorder?
And they used to classify a lot of those things. Actually, mm-hmm. that was, we're going to talk about this later on, the Goldwater Rule. Which basically came about because of, you know, a presidential campaign that was based on him not being able to pee.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Goldwater.
Yes, that's why psychologists are not allowed to technically diagnose someone that they haven't actually sat down with. And that's why they can't diagnose a sitting president or a candidate or anything like that.
Is it because he couldn't pee because people were listening? Because that happened to me sometimes.
He was just trying to tarnish the reputation of his rival by just basically bringing up the fact that he had some sort of mental thing. And because there was no actual classification at the time of saying that whether that was actually, you know, something normal or something that, you know, could be classified as a, you know, quote unquote mental disorder.
If it is, I have that because we have a public bathroom at my work and I go in there and if someone's in the other stall and I have to go, I'm like, they'll listen to me, then no, I can't go.
If you're trying to tell me that you don't have, you know, something.
Well, I got something, right? All right.
And that, right? Like everybody's got something.
Well,
everybody's
got
something
things.
That they're just like, yeah, if you were to know about that, you'd probably think less about me.
But
realistically,
of those.
Again, we all have those. So why would anyone think any less of you having that particular one, right? Like, you know, you're going to say that my thing is any worse or better than what you're doing? Like, nah, I don't think so, right? Are you hurting anybody? No, well, then it's probably cool.
Hurting myself.
Well, that's, you know, there's that, but, you know. If you're enjoying hurting yourself, I suppose. I don't know.
There's a joke there, but I'm not going to go
that's
with
beyond,
that joke.
Beyond my reasoning at this point. And
I had
we'll have an episode on sadomasochism and masochism and the whole thing later.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Hey, you know, like there's got to be a hole, right?
I need actually a feel
when we start branching out the Learn Me Something brand into new, you know, I really feel that having a whole like podcast on just learning stuff about sex. I really feel like that's something that we could really, you know, that a lot of people would get behind. Right?
For sure, I'll listen to that one.
You know, we'll have the how to pick up girls episode, you know, we'll have the what to do with a girl episode.
How not to be a creep online. That's one that we need.
That, right? That would be a big one for a lot of people. How not to be a, you know, general sexual harasser.
Yeah, that's right? Tough.
That's a tough one for a lot of people. But I think a lot of that comes down to narcissism too, right? Mm-hmm. Like the idea that you're above, you know, what other people feel is, you know, well, what's the rules of society.
What's the clinical definition of narcissism?
Well, there's actually, okay, so again, with the DSM classification, there's apparently about 9 different kind of classifications they've set out, and you need to only meet 5 of the criteria in order to have what they classify as narcissistic personality disorder.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is a grandiose sense of self-importance.
I got that.
Ding! Yeah. preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, etc.
Ding, yes, for
sure. Okay, ding, ding. Okay. Believes they are special and unique and can only be understood by or associate with other special or high status people.
No, I don't have that one.
Hey, buddy.
You are absolutely high status.
Yeah, I was going to say.
100%. But I think
who do you think you're associated with there, my friend?
I'm
why do you think I associate with you, I should say, as well.
Very good point, sir. Very good point.
See, it goes both ways.
But I like to associate with all.
All right, so the fourth one is requires excessive admiration.
Absolutely.
Yeah, speaking of, for the low fee. Of
I give myself all the admiration that I need.
Well, yeah, that's also, you know, it's regularly fishing for compliments, you know, which...
I don't do that.
You don't really fish. No, I will say, you're more of the self-aggrandizing kind of...
Yeah, I say, you should say this about me, just because that's who I am.
Yeah, well, that, there
and you're
that.
Welcome. You don't
but
have
I mean,
to say
but
it.
I mean, but that's, I mean, the thing is that, you know, people should just recognize your beauty from, you know...
I have to say that. You don't have to say it. Don't worry, I assume it already. I just don't worry, it's fine. I assume that... I'm the prettiest person you've ever met.
See, and I always like to say that I hide my muscles on the inside. Right?
I used to say that.
Like the things that make me strong are not necessarily me being able to lift shit. Right? Because I mean, don't get me wrong. Like my dad always told me that, you know, home is what you can carry on your back. Right? Like just meaning that you're better off to be able to, you know, pick up and carry on if you need to versus having a bunch of shit that you're tied to. Right? Mm-hmm. But, you know... From that, I've just learned to just be able to carry a lot of shit, right? So,
like physically carry a lot of shit?
Physically, emotionally, right? Like you just tried to expose myself to things to be able to just, you know, say that I've actually kind of been there and have some experience in dealing with some shit. Mm-hmm. So, and that comes from just, like you said, just getting out to everyone, right? Like it's not a matter of, you know.
I'm a man of the people.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what this is about, you know. Like I tend to be more kind of introverted, but I feel that, you know, we all have something to say, and you know, if this is kind of getting out of that and trying to, you know, like I'm shitty for the self promotion,
yeah,
right, you know, but this is kind of just trying to, you know, make ourselves a little better out of something, and you know, part of that was just trying to find a voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. That's my narcissism here.
You're such a narcissistic bastard.
There's that sense of entitlement, which is number 5 there, which, you know, you know, again, like I, you know, we do a semi-educational podcast, so I assume nobody's listening. Right. So I don't know if I qualify for that one, but 6 is interpersonally exploitive.
What does that mean?
Meaning that when you have a relationship with someone, it's for your own benefit.
Oh, right. Okay, sure.
Right? So you'll use different techniques to kind of bring that person down or to, you know, make sure that you feel dominant over.
So only for your benefit, because every relationship you're going to get some benefit out of.
Well, you're supposed to be a symbiotic, really, you know, thing where you would hope that you're at least giving as much as you're
for
taking.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
Whereas with a narcissistic personality, you assume that that person is only there for your benefit anyway. So if they're not, you know, going out of their way to make sure that you're the most important person, then you take it as a personal affront.
Right. I got you.
Sorry. So and then from that, you know, number 7 is lacks empathy. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. So is unwilling or possibly unable to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. And so that's where, you know, being that, you know, exploitive.
How many does Donald Trump knock off on that one?
Well, that is actually, you know, the narcissist in chief. That wasn't you, just in case you were.
What?
Just in case you were wondering. That was actually a name that I had put onto, you know, I'm sure it's been put on him before me, but,
sure,
you know, that's kind of, you know.
You must hit on most of those.
We're going to get into that. There's actually there's a Rolling Stone article we're going to post on the website here. That's actually, like, I just heard apparently that the Democrats have started impeachment proceedings apparently on Donald Trump, and one of those would be part of the narcissistic problem of where, you know, the idea of the emoluments clause, where he's not supposed to be making money. He was supposed to put all of his things into a blind trust, and he's not supposed to have any control of any profit. Yeah. He's not supposed to have any of his companies, you know, directly funneling money into his pocket. It's just, you know, let alone using his position to sell his product, right? Or to sell, you know.
You know, it's funny, after him being president, I'm sure someone's going to come up with a law of what the president's allowed to say on Twitter.
And that's, you know, see, again, that's where this Goldwater rule we're going to get into in a little while, right? Where psychologists have been kind of blocked from being able to speak about the personality traits of you know, people in power.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So number 8 is often envious of others and or believes others are envious of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, using that envy to, you know, knock down other people, right? Sure. Like anybody that they feel is higher than them, they have to go on a personal attack on, right? In order to bring them down to their level mm-hmm. below, right? You know, and like you were saying with Trump, I mean, he meets all of these when you get right down to it, right?
He meets a lot of them, it
sounds like. No, like literally all of them, you know? And it's apparently they only meet five, you only need to meet 5 of them to be classified with this narcissistic personality. But I mean, like—
well, he scored 100%.
But then that's the problem, is it's all on Twitter. Like you could literally just take his, you know, like— part of the Rolling Stone one, they actually have a list of just twits that he's sent out that speak to specifically each one of these traits.
Yeah, you know? I mean, if the fact that he has to attack a UCLA basketball player's father on Twitter, I mean, you're the most powerful person in the world.
And that's the thing that you're using.
You got to spend some time to knock this guy down because he said something you didn't like. Like, somebody needs to bend him over and smack his ass, you know, like a child.
But that's kind of, you know, the other thing is that, you know, the narcissist surrounds himself with yes people.
Yeah.
People who are going to say, you know, who are going to fulfill the fantasy that he's built around himself mm-hmm. about where he, you know, who he is, what he's building, what who, you know, and this little, you know, fragile, you know, glass thing that he's built around himself that only allows him to see himself and nobody else.
Right. It's amazing that Donald Trump's the president. Every day for the past year, I've been like, I'm amazed that this guy is the freaking president and that people still to this day support him.
And see, for me, it comes down to, like, again, we had done an episode on Donald Trump that's never been. Right?
Yeah.
And it was one of the ones that we did before our recent iteration here. But I actually went back to my notes on this, and there was a quote from Andy Borowitz that I wanted to bring up here on Donald Trump. And it was, stopping Trump is a short-term solution. The long-term solution, and it's much more difficult, is fixing the educational system that has created so many people ignorant enough to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And that was the real, like, there's still like 30%, 38% of evangelists that still support him and still believe every fucking word this asshole says. And I'm just going like, what? How do you just blindly accept anything? I mean, I understand that everybody listening to us on this podcast right now is blindly accepting everything that we say as fact, an absolute fact. And don't do any research. Don't
look shit up. Don't need to.
Yeah, don't look shit up because it must be true if we're saying it.
We did the research for you. Just relax, lay back, just listen to us.
Exactly. We will lead you. Don't worry. We will never lead you astray. We will always. And that's actually one of the things of a narcissist. They never admit they're wrong, right?
Mm.
You know, and that's that's number 9. That's the last one. It shows arrogant, haughty, rude, or abusive behaviors and attitudes. But I mean, it's you know, never admitting you're wrong, never saying you're sorry, right? He's never once admitted to ever being anything ever than the best ever.
That's the biggest thing with him, right? Even when he's clearly wrong, he never...
Nope, never,
like,
backs down.
Never says, down. Oh, yeah, it's like... Somebody needs to smack him.
And a lot of that comes to, you know, I mean, I really feel like his, well, see, it comes to like his upbringing, right? Like he came from a family of narcissistic people, right? Who kind of raised him to be narcissistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dad as a real estate developer was, you know, thoroughly drummed out of the New York real estate scene because of his shady practices, right? And when Trump first got in, he got it off of a loan from his dad because his dad couldn't get the approval for whatever project it was.
He lives in a world of money. I mean, I even saw an article or something where he couldn't even communicate with his children until they were adults. Like, he doesn't even know how to talk to a child.
Well, okay, and see, that's where, like, this article here from Rolling Stone, right? Apparently, his father told him he was a king. He used to say that he was a king and that it was important to be a killer.
Hmm.
So Trump apparently got the message. He reportedly threw rocks at a neighbor's baby and bragged about punching a music teacher in the face. And I'm quoting this from the Rolling Stone article here, and it'll be out there for you to check it out. Other kids from his well-heeled Queens neighborhood of Jamaica Estates were forbidden with from playing with him, and in school he got detention so often that it was nicknamed DT for Donnie Trump.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I can see that.
This is the president of the United States. I will make sure that everyone knows for a fact that this is the guy who threw rocks at a neighbor's baby when he was a child, right? And bragged about punching people in the face. When his father found his collection of switchblades, he sent Donald upstate to New York Military Academy where he could be controlled while also remaining aggressively alpha male, which is another one, another podcast we're going to go into, the whole alpha male idea, which is, you know, kind of bullshit. And you know, like the idea that, you know, and again, like we all have narcissistic traits, right? Like we all have part of us that feels that we should be the center of attention, that we are, right? Like, and again, there's this whole, I believe it's so, there's a word for it. But the idea that only you exist, and that everything else could could technically be shown to be just a projection of your brain, and that you know everything here is just an imaginary thing that's that's, you know, we're not even moving, you know, we could just be. But I mean, that's where, like, Donald Trump lives in that world where nobody else exists other than him, and he's allowed to kind of just, you know, make up his own rules as he goes in his own mind. Right. And it really is a pathology, right? It's an actual, like there's an actual problem there. They're really, you know, like, and even like the greed, right? Like the fact that, you know, he wasn't content to inflict the city. And again, I'm quoting here because this was a good way of putting it. Not content to inflict the city with a succession of eyesores bearing his name in outsized letters. He had to buy up more Atlantic City casinos than anyone else, as well as a fleet of 727s, which he also slapped with his name. And the world's third biggest yacht, despite professing not to like boats.
But he's got own a yacht. He's got a rich guy.
But not just any yacht. The third biggest yacht. He had to get the biggest one that he could get, right? And I'm sure, like, when he got it, it was probably the biggest. And then somebody got one bigger, and now it's only the third biggest. And so now he's probably plotting on something. Right?
He had to talk shit about the other two.
It has to be covered in gold because you know that's how he projects his status, right? And it's just all about, you know, how does he project himself as bigger than he actually is?
You know, I don't think I even know anyone that I can kind of say, oh yeah, they're kind of like Donald Trump. Like, I don't even know anyone who is that narcissistic.
And again, like, a lot of it comes down to recognizing that there's apparently two different types of narcissism, right? There's a malignant narcissism where you're actually, like, with the exploitation and, like, the gaslighting and the whole, like, you know, where everything that you are is built around bringing other people down, right? Versus, you know, the narcissism that's based in a self-image problem. Right? The narcissism that's based in, you know, like, inside you're a fragile, you know, tiny little person, but you have to project
this
outward
walls.
Exactly. Okay. Where you have to project this outward aggressiveness and, you know, like, in order to, say, do a job or to, you know, where you have, you know, that's the kind of industry that you're in or something, where you have to project that outward, you know.
And that's narcissism?
That can be a symptom of. Right, where you've built your personality into this person that has to not care about other people.
Yeah. So, right? I mean, what is the actual, do you know the actual definition of narcissism? Is that where?
Yeah, well, that's where that DSM is kind of the defining, you know, traits of narcissism.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, there's kind of ways that you can kind of, you know, basically it's just going through each of those. And again, it's not the idea that you're always a narcissist. Like, apparently it's only 6% of the population that would actually fall into the, like, narcissistic personality disorder.
6%? That's pretty high.
That's pretty
high.
Holy cow. That's pretty high. But that's also, like, and I mean, if you think about it nowadays, where we have kind of built, you know, kind of a narcissistic society, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I actually read a quote from one of the people in the articles there about how, like, if there was no Kim Kardashian, there wouldn't be a Donald Trump.
Meaning what?
Meaning that, like, the Kardashians have built this empire of nothingness on nothingness and have somehow made money out of nothing.
Right.
You know, and it's the same narcissistic, you know, attitude that they've had, where it's all about them and it's keeping up with Kardashians. It's all about blah, blah, blah. You know, you got to make sure you watch. You know, we got all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's no content to it. And it's the same thing where, you know, like, If we didn't have that kind of reality TV where there's no actual, like, if you were to actually look at Kim Kardashian, who she is and what she actually stands for, there ain't a whole fucking lot there.
Yeah, right? I'd agree.
And it's the same problem with Donald Trump. You look at who he is, what he like, if you strip away all the shit, all the gold lettering, all the blah, 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 who is he really? Well, he's really a kind of little tiny dude who thinks he can go around grabbing people's pussies.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's really a kind of a tiny little dude who's built up all this empire to cover over the fact that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I know. I mean, obviously, nobody knows him enough to say that. You're probably right. Maybe he's got some daddy issues, or
tell me all.
Well, and it also speaks to the greater issue of how technology perpetuates.
But that's the thing. Yeah.
This behavior that it gives a platform for people like that to exist. Mm-hmm. Going to your point about Kim Kardashian, like.
Without any
Can you imagine,
checking.
Like, would she have been able to become the person she was 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Maybe not.
No.
Yeah, without social
media. No, because
she
would have been considered too lewd.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she got famous because of a sex tape. I mean, back in the day, she would have been outcast from society for releasing a sex tape. That would have been considered, right? Like in a lot of these presidential campaigns back in the day, like 20 years ago, there was a presidential campaign that was derailed because he had a picture of a girl sitting in his lap.
Yeah.
And they used that as the main platform to have him not elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're in an era where you have platforms like YouTube where anyone can upload a video and become an overnight success and become a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had regular everyday people become celebrities because of YouTube videos, for better or worse.
And that's like, was it because they were, you know, saying something intelligent? Or was it because
sometimes they are. But again, it's like...
I would be interested in the ratio of, you know, like falling over videos versus somebody saying something intelligent.
Technology, this is a people problem, not a technology problem.
Exactly.
Obviously, there are inherent challenges, like I said, that it perpetuates this type of behavior. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely gives people a platform. But it's not like, I know a lot of people like to rag on technology, how it's destroying lives and all. But the thing is like we get, as far as I'm concerned, I think we get more benefit out of it than we do if we didn't have it. And I think the internet as a whole, the way it's constructed, has really democratized a lot of things, like journalism, that anyone can become a powerful voice.
Yeah.
It's a powerful communication platform. Now, obviously, there's a lot of shit that you have to sift through, but there is a lot of stuff on there that's really intelligent, really engaging.
For sure.
That has made a difference.
And again, it's more just making people, you know, actually look at it objectively and say whether that, you know, like you know, are they ignorant enough to still, you know, believe anything they read on the internet, or do they actually recognize that there is a lot of misfact out there and misinformation?
It is sad in the era of like extreme narcissism, more so than at least maybe it's always existed on some level, but it like the internet and technology makes it rise to the surface, right?
I find it hard to believe that people 50 years ago would have ever thought of taking pictures of their fucking food and posting it
online. Nobody had
cameras.
We didn't have cameras like that.
I bet they would have if they had cameras.
I'm sure they would have. You know, that's you know? And I get that, you know.
I think it amplifies the narcissism. I don't know if it increases it. I think it just makes it more aware of what exists. And I think that's what the internet does. I mean, I like the fact that everything's on an even playing field, and people that didn't have a voice 20 years ago now have a voice. Like people like Philip DeFranco. I watch Philip DeFranco every single day. He would not have been on anywhere 15 years ago for YouTube. I mean, now he's a big player in the news game.
Yeah. I think it was Marshall McLuhan had a really good quote about how the way technology is impacting the world, that it's now the world is becoming smaller and smaller. In the sense that it brings people closer together.
Definitely, yeah.
But again, there are...
But it also amplifies
the stupid. It can be
used
for good and evil.
It amplifies the stupid, you know?
Absolutely.
It doesn't make people stupid. It makes people's stupidity more accessible.
Absolutely. Because the stupid people... Yeah, it's like... It always annoys me when I hear people talk about technology, how it creates like stupidity, but it doesn't. Like,
see, again,
those people were stupid to begin with.
That's exactly. It's not technology's problem. Like my problem with technology is that it's a capitalistic based thing instead of a need-based thing, right? Like, do we really need this technology, or is it something that we don't necessarily, that we could, you know, do without, you know, or that we could maybe find a way of doing without having it, you know, have to be such a big, you know, capitalistic venture all the time. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do we really need another 99-cent fart app? You know, right? It's like that perfect example.
Well, or
do,
like,
we need another photo sharing service? Do we need another Facebook? Probably not.
Let alone, like, how much money does Facebook need to make? How much money does Twitter need to make? How much do any of these companies really need to make in order
but the challenge with when platforms get so freaking big, like Facebook, where they have hundreds of billions of active users every day, is that it becomes expensive to run it. And they need revenue.
If you want to tell me that they need $280 billion, I think they made last year, $280 billion.
I haven't looked at their actual fixed cost versus...
No. Like, that's profit. That's
like
profit.
Bottom line profit?
They profited in the billions of dollars
from that. But that's another discussion about capitalism, right?
Yeah, well, see, that's the problem, is that, you know, nobody wants to have that discussion of capitalism. And I mean, like, I had posted that... Did you read that post I put out about the wealth?
No, I have not.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And it was basically just stating that what you perceive as the actual wealth gap is actually 10 times like, so if you think the wealth gap is here, what it actually is way up here. But what, you know, the perceived version is 10 times even lower than that, right?
Yeah, that video has been circulating for a while.
No. Yeah. This is the one that I posted. Did you watch that one?
Yeah. Okay. I've seen that. I'm pretty sure I sent that to you at one point. It's been going around for, I would say, 4 years. And it's a great video because exactly what you're saying is people's perceptions of how the wealth should be distributed.
Yes, that's what it was. Versus what it actually
is. So there's three tiers. There was how they think it should be distributed, how they think it is distributed, and how it actually is distributed. That was a scary thing. Is the fact that so much of the money goes to the 1%. I mean, a ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous amount goes to the billionaires.
But beyond ridiculous into pathological. And that's where, like, this whole narcissism thing comes in, right? Is that lack of empathy, right? Like the ability to take that kind of money out of people without regard for, you know.
I agree. It's definitely a lack of empathy. I think it's more of, I mean, I don't know these people, so I can't say, but I'm thinking it's more of a fear base. Like, I have all this and I don't want to ever lose it. So I'm going to rig the game so I never lose it. And I just get more and pad it further.
But I mean, it's,
and it's a game rigging. I mean, the game is definitely rigged. So these people at the top, you know, these CEOs that make millions and owners that make billions of dollars. I mean, that's the sickness. That's, you know.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a sickness. Like, there were, you know, long before now, there were many, many, you know, societies that would actually view that kind of capitalistic, right, uncapped, unchecked capitalism as an actual sickness. That would be a greed thing that, you know, like that's one of the seven deadly sins is greed, right? And I don't understand why we don't view this kind of, you know...
There's an overall argument that I have, I want to pose this to you two about the whole narcissism thing that, and you know, we're all guilty. I can speak for myself at least. I've been guilty at it at times, but I tried to really restrain myself from being that guy that takes pictures
and
of his food, you know, that every meal, like, posted it on Instagram or Facebook, and, you know, why can't you just sit down and enjoy a meal and have a conversation with someone?
Yeah.
Or why do you have to constantly stare at your phone to fill that void, to fill that gap? Why can't you just let your brain wander in thought?
But that's the problem.
That's the bigger issue that, you know, we society as a whole seems to be moving to this thing where we all want to take pictures of ourselves. Like, all our social media is just about us, and it's vain.
But at what cost?
So what is the cost? Like, we don't really actively think about that.
Well, and see, that's
what does
where
that mean? Where we're going as a society?
And that's where, like, the research, right? Like, I actually just found and we may post this one, where I just found the use of the smartphone from the year 2007 when it was first invented to about 2009, where there was widespread acceptance of it, From then on, teenage suicide rates have skyrocketed. Teenage depression rates have skyrocketed.
Interesting.
Because the problem with social media is that it's not inclusive, right? Mm-hmm. You think it's meant to,
you think it's social, it's, but
exactly,
it's not.
It's meant to be, you know, like this big social thing. But the only thing is that if you're a lonely kid who doesn't have, you know, friends, or if you're on Facebook and all your friends are out doing something mm-hmm. and you weren't fucking invited.
Yeah.
Yeah, now sure. Facebook oh is God, your yeah. worst goddamn enemy. And now, right?
So, that is so true. I've heard it from parents, and I've seen like really young teenagers, like kids that are like just going into their teens, like 12, 13, 14. Now they're using Snapchat mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I've seen videos of kids like crying because and more so often girls that are like mm-hmm. that person that I know at school, that popular girl, has like 1,000 friends yeah. on Snapchat, and I have like 5.
Or if you post something and you don't get enough likes,
seriously, like, yeah. like they
withdraw.
Because
that's the basis
they
of their social, right? Their because interactions with
that,
people.
That
right?
is their life,
mm-hmm.
right?
And that's the thing. Like, we're not educating people enough to recognize when you should just put your fucking phone down and actually like talk to a person. Mm. And we lose that sense of yeah. actual, like, that's the problem, is that like, we're social creatures. This phone, it's a separation from that social aspect that we require. Yeah.
Now, granted, right? I mean, isolation is not a new thing. Like, back when I was in school, there was no cell phone. There was, for the most part, I mean, going to high school in the 90s, mm-hmm. the internet really wasn't a thing anyways. It was something most people couldn't afford. Like, I'm talking post 1996, I want to say. Mm. And, you know, there were still issues of isolation. You know, you always dealt with like, oh, you know, I'm not part of this group. I'm excluded.
But so you didn't have that instant, in that instant access to exclusion. Right. And that's yeah. the thing, is that right. instant, right? Like, immediately, you know that you've been excluded. Right? So, and immediately you know if you've been included that you now have something to hold over your friends.
Are you saying that, are you implying that's more dangerous?
I'm really feeling harming?
I really feel
that it's more just a matter of education, right? Like, that we need to be aware that, you know, if you're spending all of your time looking at your phone, you're really limiting your actual happiness. Because again, we're social creatures. We're not meant to have this, you know, mm-hmm. outside, you know, like, it doesn't help us as social creatures that require actually hugs and you know, kisses in order to, right? Like, you can't get that from a like. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we yeah. require physical touch. We require physically looking someone in the eyes and seeing who they are. That's how we interact with people. It's not through our phones. It's not through Twitter. It's not through that bullshit, right?
It's almost in a way that, like, the smartphone becomes our friend. It becomes a confidant.
But that's the problem, right? And that's an emotionless tool that's taking the place of an actual social interaction that would yeah. actually feed your soul.
I mean, what I think it is people always will take the path of least resistance. Yeah. And what people want is they want social gratification. They want to feel a sense of importance. They want to feel socially recognized.
But without recognizing, like, whether that is actually giving them that kind of gratification, or whether yeah. they might actually benefit
it
from going out yeah. another way.
But it's still going to be, your brain craves that, and it's a quick way to get it. And I think,
well, see, that's the other problem, is that, I mean, like, Facebook has teams of people that are dedicated to making it addictive. And from our previous, you know, podcast on addiction, you know how easy it is for our brains to fall into the patterns sure. of addiction that these people prey on and rely on for their profit. And that's exactly where Facebook makes all of their money, is from their literal teams of people who specifically go into neuroscience. Like, they're actually taking all of these papers on how to make things addictive and using those properties to make their products more addictive.
You're talking
so
about,
that they can
like
make
you're
more.
Actually stating that Facebook is...
Facebook,
or
Twitter,
that,
all of them. All of them. Or, they all have a team of people, because that's how they make their money. They don't make their money by not having people clicking or by not having people liking or whatever, right? Like, they have to make sure that their product is something that people are constantly drawn to. So, that's what it's all about nowadays. This yeah. whole app thing, this whole everything is, like, with Battlefront 2, we were talking about how this microtransaction bullshit yeah. with EA, right?
And that's
it's all based
thing.
On, and they've got teams of people that have made that so that they, you know, had an algorithm that went, oh, people will pay this much in order to.
Yeah.
That's social engineering.
But that's exactly yeah. right. And that's the problem, right? Like, and
you
people
can't blame them for wanting to do that.
But again, it becomes a problem of how much is enough. how much of their voice is being used for profit and not for actually educating people, right? Like if they're breeding a bunch of ignorant people because they're not taking the time to actually fact check anything and they're just posting anything out there. Like I believe it was Al Franken or one of the congressmen who had Facebook and Twitter, and they were actually interviewing them. And they were talking about how when someone pays for an ad with rubles, why was there nothing in Facebook's, you know, to say, like they were talking about the Russian interference with the, and you know, it was just like people were paying for ads with rubles that were specifically attacking Hillary Clinton, and nobody went, I wonder what that could be for, right? Like, and posting political ads using other, you know.
Well, I think it's what's a business's responsibility to govern themselves. I mean, I think it's the business is there, you know, as you always say, there's a profit center to make money to generate that income. And I think it's the society's and government's job to put in regulations and put in things to, you know, like their motivation is to protect society and starting putting things in place to see something getting out of hand. And I'm a big fan of the competitive, you know, the like a court system where you have to have a jury and you have to have a prosecutor and you have to have a defense, and then and the best outcome comes of that.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to very difficult, very nuanced stuff here because it would be hard to prove that a company's doing something damaging. Right?
But this is where I want to tie this together, is that if you look at the definition of a corporation, it's basically narcissism made true, right? Okay. A corporation has a grandiose sense of self-importance. They're preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success. They believe they are special.
I agree you believe that.
No, but seriously.
Well, I don't think that every single...
You look at Apple. Does Apple believe they have a grandiose sense of self-importance?
I believe people at Apple believe that they do.
Do they have a sense of entitlement?
I don't know if every single employee...
Are they interpersonally exploited?
I don't necessarily agree with that because if you look at the definition in any business book, of a corporation or a company is very... very simple in terms of definition, that it's just a bunch of people getting together to make something for profit, typically, right? So whether or not
those are... I
believe
that's maybe where they start, altruistic, but I don't think that that's where they... That, you know, like the companies that are in the billions of dollars, I don't think that's...
Yeah, but okay, well, hold on. Well, what about the... Don't you think the onus should be on people, though, to understand their... to realize their own behaviors, too? Like, sure. I mean, we can't always put 100% of the blame on corporations. Because they're clever enough to engineer their products to be addictive.
Yeah, but if they've rigged it, that's again where like if they're taking neuroscience and using that to trick people, right? Like, you know, like if the banks have made, you know, record profits for how many after having to get bailed out and having to, right? And they're still doing exactly the same things. I don't agree on the bailout thing too.
But I mean, Las Vegas casinos are a great example of social engineering. You know how they keep those things. I mean, you'll just look at what cost to society, and that's the other problem. I know.
Right?
Well, there is a cost.
Right?
There
and
is a cost because people are
like,
sitting there like rats waiting to get a food pellet.
But that's,
and they keep pumping air conditioning to keep people awake. This is a real thing.
Does society benefit in any way from a casino?
Absolutely not.
Right? Like that's my problem, right?
And yet we're still building them. It's perpetuating greed. That's all of their own.
And that comes to government and that comes to society to vote people in that are going to, you know, do things to protect.
But it's like the motivated reasoning, right? Like if a corporation has a real motivation to make sure that nobody looks at what they're doing objectively, they have teams of people that they can employ to do that. Lobbyists, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at something like Monsanto, right? Where they've got lobbyists that are constantly... Why would they need to have lobbyists?
Oh, come on. Corporations never have special interests like
right?
that in politics
you know?
At all. That never happens.
But then you get to why would they need those special interests, right? Like, is it because they're doing something that we would maybe object to if we were objectively given all the actual facts about what they were doing?
There are lots of companies that do nefarious things like that, but not everyone.
Not everyone. I mean, that's my point, is that not every single corporation is an evil entity.
See, and again, like I'm not saying that it's, you know, like by definition evil. I'm just saying that by definition, there's no humanity in it. And therefore it's, you know, it's based on like they're working for that company and that company's brand, right? And that company has really no inclination to help out the people that even are working for the company, let alone the people that are, you know, buying into the company or the people who are, right?
I don't agree with that. I mean, being in HR, I can say absolutely that I don't agree with that.
The whole idea of this whole financial system that's built on the idea that the market will self-stabilize has been proven to be bullshit. And we're still feeling the repercussions of this because we haven't objectively looked at the fact that, you know, this idea of trickle-down economics is absolute bullshit and has been proven wrong however many times. We still, you know, listen to this shit and go, well, maybe there's a grand, right?
And like, I agree with you there because that's where you have the bad corporations that you're talking about and the evil corporations that have, you know, their influence in the government with tons and tons of money. And and it's a rigged system where it's that 1% and they want to stay there.
And that company started off as a mom and pop company.
Well,
I'm just saying it started off as a small company that, you know, wanted to do real good, blah, blah, blah. And as it grew bigger, right? Mm-hmm. And as the debt and the profit had to, you know, you had to make more money every year. You have to, you know, and so now the things that they started off with as the core values of the company get chipped away. And in order to make profit, well, now that thing that we used to believe in, well, now that's kind of cutting into our profit, right? And now this healthcare that we have to pay to our employees, boy, that,
I'm not arguing that doesn't exist, but that doesn't exist in every single one of them. That's my thing.
I'm saying that by definition, the way these things are set up, that's the natural progression of.
Well, I mean,
because there is no experience,
I'm going to have to disagree with you. We'll just have to agree that we disagree on this.
Well, again, we're leading towards the corporations podcast here. Apparently, I think that will have to be the culmination of the season or something. Is just like tying this all together. And
we
have seasons.
You know, actually, there's a new documentary on corporations coming out that apparently you need to watch all the ones that I watched talk about how corporations have no soul, but apparently you're watching different ones.
I have worked for corporations. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, I know. And you know,
I have
effectively sold your soul to.
Yes, I sold my soul to the devil.
I don't
think they're all evil.
Again, you're using the definition of evil, you know, as I don't know. What exactly is your definition of
that? They're in it just for, like, they have no empathy. And I tell you for a fact that I know many corporations and many people in corporations that have tons of empathy.
I'm not talking about the people in the corporation. I'm talking about the corporation itself. If you look at the definition of a corporation, the corporation is just there to make money. That's it. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Okay.
No matter what product it is,
but
no matter what they're selling,
run that
it's just to make money. And if that person, you sit there and talk about this heartfelt thing, but if you weren't making money for that corporation, they would fire you without thought for who you are, what you put into the company.
Not true at all.
How many, dude, I know how many people. I had a friend who worked for Panasonic for 10, 15 years, and as soon as they felt that his profits weren't up, fired him.
Okay.
No severance. No, you want to tell me that this is
coming up with a random anecdote.
How many companies have I worked for?
I can tell you many. I've worked for many companies. I'm in HR. I know when people get fired, you know, and I can tell you there's been I know for a fact companies have held on to managers that are making negative profit for months at a time because they've been with the company for a long time, or they have good leadership values and they're hoping that it's going to turn around or they have something. At the end of the day,
again, that's a human being helping out another human being.
It's a I'm talking about
that's a
leadership
human being
team.
That's management team making a choice to help out another human being, correct?
For sure.
But again, when it comes down to that corporation, if that person after 3 months was still not making a profit, they would be terminated.
No, like
that
happened.
You're saying that they would just keep them around even if they weren't doing anything.
I'm telling you what I know as fact, and you can believe me or not believe me.
I know millions of people who would disagree with you entirely.
That
have been fired by corporations.
I'm
wrongfully,
not saying that is
that have been
yes
led.
Wrongfully, but anyway, there are laws in place. There are employment laws in place. There has to be just what they call just cause for letting people go. But anyways, like we're getting a little off the rails.
No, because again, it comes down to the idea that, you know, at its core, right, a company only thinks about itself. And that's again kind of the core of narcissism. And it's a bit of a right, but it kind of struck me that every single one of these when you get right down to the core of, you know, what it means, it really kind of stands for all of them.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure where you're ultimately going with that, because a lot of us think about ourselves. There's nothing wrong with companies thinking about themselves.
Donald Trump's brand is how great he is.
Yes.
Right? So the corporation of Donald Trump, right? And again, you look at a lot of these other, like, it's all based on this idea that they're the best. Right? All right. And so the brand has to be narcissistic kind of by definition.
I think we can separate, though, narcissism as a problem from specifically corporations being...
But I think that's kind of the issue, is that we've been separating it instead of looking at it as an actual symptom of the problem, of what's been going on, right? The reason that we have this wealth gap is because companies have been allowed to be narcissistic and allowed to have, you know, free reign over a lot of this shit versus having actual, like, repercussions for their behavior.
I will agree with you 100% that there are companies out there that are rigging the game, and there's people in politics that are being bought and sold and voting based on solely on companies' interests rather than the individual people's interest. Now, I will never agree with you that every single company out there,
I'm not saying every single company,
you know, $1 billion is part of that problem.
Yeah, I see what Aaron's saying, and I do agree with the specific examples.
And I'm not saying that every one of them does it all of the time. What I'm saying is that as with the definition of narcissistic personality disorder, you only need 5 of them to classify.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find a company that doesn't classify in 5 of these, I'd be happy to hear it.
Of course, the other issue, though, from a psychology perspective, is like traditionally, like you can only really diagnose a human being with narcissism. So it's really tough.
It's difficult applying this concept to a company.
But this is part of the interesting conversation.
And that's exactly. Yeah. Like, that's why I had this thing, and I kind of went, you know, that's kind of where I'm trying to get to the core of what I feel is kind of the issues that we face with society, where we haven't addressed these issues, where we haven't looked at what actually, you know, are our beliefs and what really believe should be the core values that we actually stand up for, right? Like, do we stand up for one person or do we stand up for all of us?
Okay, so how do we fix this? How do we begin to fix this? This is a big problem to unravel.
Oh yeah, for sure. But
where,
I mean, it's the same
start?
Thing. Like, it's recognizing that there are times when narcissism can be beneficial, yeah. where sometimes you just need to cut through the bullshit. Sometimes somebody just needs to be the boss.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. The first step to recovery is recognizing you have a problem. So,
and that's exactly
if we can't collectively
thing.
Do
but that's
that
where,
as
exactly
a society,
that's the problem.
Then.
If we can't collectively even just address the possibility that the core of a corporation might be a narcissistic entity that might actually need to be.
It's an interesting perspective I've never heard anyone bring up before.
It actually,
corporations, people, you always hear the words greed associated.
Yeah.
But you never hear people talk about corporations as
it hadn't occurred to me until I was sitting here looking at my list and going, Donald Trump met every single one of those, but the only reason he meets all of those is because his brand has been built around every single one of those things. Has been built around requiring excessive admiration, has been built around a sense of
that's
entitlement.
That's the fascinating
right?
thing, too, about and that's brands.
And then you tie
brands
that to,
now are built around
and
people.
That's exactly. Right?
They become
but it's tied
huge
about,
entities.
It's tied yep. around the perception of giving a shit about people. That's what it's all about. It's the perception of giving a shit. It's not necessarily, like Monsanto will tell you they gave a shit while salting land in India, while ruining people's livelihoods, while buying out farmers, while patenting seeds that, you know, they have no. Anyway, that's another one we'll get into. But like the idea that you know, they can use that to the idea of profit for the company to bypass all ethical concerns.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
But that's a narcissistic tendency.
That's
right?
a massive problem for a
that's
company.
That's a grandiose
to do that.
Sense of self-importance.
Yeah, I mean not every single company follows that. I mean, every company should have their core values and their mission statements, but mainly their core values of what they stand for, and those should never be compromised.
Sure.
And if
again,
they ever get compromised,
again,
you're working for the wrong company.
That's the perception. That's the brand building that all of these corporations do so that you don't actually see what they're actually doing.
Right.
Okay. Right. It's the perception of, right? And to say that perception
a lot
won't
of that,
change
that's what
with
HR
the profit.
Is for, right?
Exactly.
It's managing public perception about your company.
Not
you could be doing all sorts of terrible again, why things would they, behind
why would
the
they need
doors.
Lobbyists if they didn't need if they didn't have something
okay,
to lobby
so where I'd like to know like so where are we going with this conversation to do we need to start at a policy level is that where this goes with companies?
Again it's more just recognizing when we actually have these kind of issues going on right like and kind of it's a matter of knowing the triggers right like knowing when you're going to you know like again recognizing these personality traits recognizing when somebody is narcissistic in general and you know not you know I guess you know calling them evil right? Because it's not necessarily an evil trait.
Well, I think if they have a medical or mental disorder, then yeah, absolutely don't call them
evil. I don't like the word evil.
But again, that's the difference. But again,
I don't like the word evil because it's very imprecise.
Between, yeah.
It's very imprecise.
Well, see, I define evil as a lack of empathy. That's usually my kind of, right? Because that's where I feel apathy.
Evil, I think, is malicious. If you're maliciously hurting the world or maliciously hurting somebody with no empathy,
It's an apathy versus empathy.
Yeah, but going back to narcissism, I think that every person and every, like us, we should be to some degree narcissistic. I mean, we got a podcast and we need to think that we got a great podcast and we got to think that we're...
That's part of the brand that we're building.
Yeah.
That you should listen to every word we say as the absolute truth.
Because we're the best.
Exactly.
And or that we have a great podcast and we're as good or better than all...
We have the best podcast.
We have the best podcast. And if we have that mentality...
Like by far the greatest of the greatest podcast ever made.
And if we have that mentality going in there, then that's going to resonate in all of the stuff that we do and is going to make us the best podcast. So we have to be narcissistic
exactly.
to some degree.
And that's the thing. Like I always say, think big, right? Like you're always better off to try to scale things back than to try to build things up, right? It's always easier to try to go, oh, wait, sorry, we can't, we got to, you know, do this a little cheaper, right? Versus, oh, we need to raise more money. Oh, shit. Right?
Yeah, you're right there.
You know? And so it's always a matter of, you know, like I recognize that, you know, I'm not going to change a corporation by just sitting here going, you guys are a bunch of assholes, right? Like that, and it's a matter of just having the conversation of like, you know, and actually like sitting here
education,
and going.
Education,
like,
which is what I know you guys always bring up on episodes, because I think partly that's what this podcast is about. And hopefully you, the listener, are getting something out of this and being educated. But yeah, man, this, you know, we can say this for so many things in life, like, think about all the things really in school at an early stage where they really should be teaching people like life lessons, money management, how to not live off of credit.
Yep.
Also teaching kids about to at least be aware of like, look at this, you see this thing that this company is doing? Well, let's break apart what they're doing and how it affects your decision as a consumer.
Well, let alone,
at least
I mean,
being aware of what that marketing is doing to you.
Exactly.
That's a big step.
That's my first question is just follow the money, right? Like, why are they saying this to me? If I see an ad, my first thing is, you know, like, why are they telling me this, right? If they're trying to sell me this
podcast
this particular,
is brought to you by Feed Press, greatest analytics and podcast hosting platform. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
I don't even know where I was going. So apparently, actually, there's a difference even between male and female narcissists.
I can believe that.
So,
we're both.
Yeah, but it's apparently more kind of in what they're about. Oh yeah, most females tend to be obsessed with their appearance. Oh, but females use it to gain superiority. So males tend to be self-confident, gaining their assurance from within, while females gain their poise from comparing their superiority over others. I'm sure all the girls out there are going,
yeah, that's probably right. My wife would agree with that 100%.
Oh yeah, that's I know
that's
women
me.
One glance and they can immediately pick all the pieces that they're going to use as their
just evil evil creatures.
See, again,
those
there's
women.
there's that overarching evil. We can throw that out there. I don't believe everyone's always evil.
No.
I believe that some, you know, we're always sometimes evil.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, everyone at some point evil. Maybe when you're killing an ant, you're pretty evil.
Well, I see. In there, it's all a matter of perspective, right? So that's kind of the thing about evil, right? I mean, what you would consider evil, another person might consider good fun.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I think that you know,
what one person might consider narcissism, the other might consider just healthy self awareness. You know,
healthy self ego.
Yeah,
good
there
ego,
you go, right?
Good. Everything revolves around you. Awesome.
Yeah, and again, sometimes you just need that person to step up and be the boss, right?
I thought that narcissism was that you truly believe that everything revolved around you. Like you truly.
Well, again, it kind of more
center.
Falls under a spectrum, right? So, like, you know, there's again, if you meet those five criteria or five of the nine or whatever criteria, right?
Mm-hmm.
To actually, and there's a difference between just kind of being narcissistic and actually having a narcissistic personality disorder, mm-hmm. right? Where it actually is affecting not only your yeah. life, but all those around
yeah,
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Just for some additional context, the actual dictionary definition, it sounds so fluffy and warm. An exceptional interest and admiration for yourself. That doesn't sound bad.
No, that sounds great. At all. I mean, who doesn't have an exceptional admiration of themselves? I mean,
because I heard someone say that if Donald Trump's not an actual narcissist, I mean, he's got narcissistic tendencies, but he's not an actual narcissist.
Don't be rude. Excuse me.
Well, and I think the main thing holding them back from an actual, like, actual classification of him as actually having the disorder was something about it having a societal impact or something where his you know, where it's actually affecting others. And I would say that it's pretty obvious that his behavior is you know, and especially the narcissism behind it has been affecting others.
Yeah, well, that's because he's the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. But even before he was president, right?
Yeah, was he affecting others? I guess people in his, but he wasn't affecting society though.
Are you kidding me? The Apprentice didn't have an effect on, I mean.
Well, then Kim Kardashian is too.
Right? Like, and that's the problem with reality TV, right? Despite the fact that, you know, how stupid I may find it is, apparently it is having an impact on society.
Well, yeah, but you know what?
Right? Whether it's a good impact or a bad impact
is to be determined.
All
those people that watch Kim Kardashian, not one of them is going, you know, it's a really intelligent show though. Not that, one person
that's,
saying that.
It's, and that's a problem. It's a guilty pleasure, I
yeah,
would
people
hope.
Go,
I would hope
people
that they
know.
At least recognize that there's,
like,
you know,
the Three Stooges. No one got intellectual benefit
hey, and,
from
and
the
I
Three
get that,
Stooges,
you know, like,
right?
I'm all for finding stuff to just be able to, you know, yeah, click my brain off for a little while
off,
and just have a little fun. Sure,
sure,
right? For
fine.
Sure. But I also find that, you know, we live that, then that's where this narcissism thing comes in, where it's just this rampant, you know, self-gratification all the time instead of being able to actually just shut the shit off and actually, you know, go try to make yourself a better person.
I'd be really concerned as soon as I hear people starting about talking about Kim Kardashian as some sort of an intellectual, like, oh, you know what? Really follow the Kim Kardashian way of life, where I... Then I'd be really concerned.
But sadly, I mean, there's girls out there that live that shit. They really,
though?
I would not be surprised. I mean, they have how many millions of viewers? Like, that show, they're in fucking 14 seasons.
Yeah, because they're trash, though.
14 seasons.
Doesn't that say
of this
something
shit?
About how fucked up people's priorities are?
Jesus.
Like, they're millions of people for that and not our podcast.
I know. Right?
Like, dude, your brand could expand
and yet
now.
Cosmos,
if you were listening
to Cosmos
this.
Only got one season.
No, see, and
like,
people's
what?
Brains shrink when they watch
and
that.
Guys,
my fucking God.
Guys,
I cannot fucking, God damn it.
I got something to add to this. One, I am way prettier than Kim Kardashian. And two, she's got one sex tape out there. I've got like multiple and no one's doing any. I haven't been blown up yet, man.
Oh, it's because you forgot the hashtag.
I didn't hashtag it. Fuck, that's what I should have done. Shit.
Yeah, and on that note... Yeah, I think that pretty much covers
anytime,
most
guys.
Of what we got here. We're going to post a lot of the links here that you can kind of help to make your own decisions on you know, a lot of this kind of stuff that we're talking about, you know. Yeah.
Narcissism.
Yeah, you can kind of, there's little quizzes there that you can look at your friends and family. And
I take those Facebook quizzes a lot. I'm often quite narcissistic on those. Like the 90 percentile, I don't know how accurate they are. They also said my food would be a toast with butter. So I don't know. How much weight you put into those. If you were food, what food would you be? I'd be toast with butter.
Toast with butter, hey. Mm-hmm.
With the butter, that's where it makes it.
Is that just, I don't know, wholesome?
No, I think it's slimy. And lubricated.
Oh, it's the soggy, like over-buttered kind of.
It's
been sitting there for a couple days.
I was just about to eat dinner, but yeah. I don't think I can.
Some hot butter melting on your warm toast,
soggy
baby.
Toast, all right. you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there going, soggy toast. Why are they? I love soggy toast.
No, I'm the part where the butter just hits the toast and starts to melt, but still nice and firm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's me, buddy.
Right. On that note,
take a picture of that.
And I believe that's how we end the episode on narcissism for sure. Rich as a piece of toast with butter dripping off of it. Okay.
That's anyway. Right. You're welcome, everybody.
And with that image in your firmly entrenched in your minds, we leave you with another episode of Learn Me Something. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate your continued ear space in this crowded podcast world out there.
Yes.
Every second you're listening to us, we really appreciate it.
That lovely thread, Aaron, you know, considering that we have such an amazing podcast that teaches people.
Thank you everyone again for listening.
All the time. Another great way that you can make our podcast even better is by going to patreon.com/hologramradio in your browser right now and donate. There is absolutely no minimum amount that you need to contribute. Even a buck would be fantastic.
Millions of dollars. We've only received a couple of $1 million donations, but we'll accept more of them. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening. Find us on Facebook. Like us. We love that. We're on Twitter at LMS Podcast. As mentioned, feel free to donate your $1 million to Patreon at Hologram Radio /Hologram Radio. You can find us on the Hologram Radio Network or on Google Tunes or anywhere you find your podcasts. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. As always, Florian Dendrite, may your brain cells flourish.
You've been listening to Learn Me Something with Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum on Hologram Radio. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe in iTunes and share it with a friend. To find other interesting podcasts like this one, please visit our website at hologramradio.org.